So we're going to look at more through Isaiah with regards to the revealing of the kingdom. Let me give you Isaiah in a summary. This is Adonai's revelation to Isaiah. Chapter 1 speaks of the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz. The vision of Isaiah begins with God issuing a formal indictment against Judah and Jerusalem. In other words, judgment. This first vision is linked to the reign of four Judean kings and spans the whole period of Isaiah's ministry. Concerning the vision of chapter 1, Rabbi Abraham Heschel states, "To the person empowered with prophetic sight, everyone else appears blind. To a person whose ear perceives God's voice, everyone else appears deaf." So hopefully you are on the side that is seeing the prophetic word of God, hearing God's voice, which means everyone else around you is blind and deaf because they're not hearing and they're not seeing. Know that Adonai has opened your eyes to see and your ears to hear what He is saying. What He says He will do. You are His witnesses to these things. In bearing witness, you are to profess these things. In order to profess these things, you must first know what they are. And second, you must be able to understand what Adonai is saying. How can you profess something if you don't know or don't understand? Many think they understand. Unfortunately, what they see and what they understand is contrary to what Adonai is revealing. I want you to pay attention to the focus here. Within Isaiah, God begins His announcement of judgment by accusing the nation, Israel, of rebellion, abandoning Him. This would be a constant theme throughout Isaiah's writings. There would be corruption. There would be violence. There would be injustice. There would be religious apostasy. There would be materialism and idolatry, immorality among women, and occultism. Because of these sins, God promises to avenge Himself and restore the nation once it has been judged. This is the vision of chapter 1. But it's the theme throughout all of Isaiah. Yet there would continue to be an aspect of hope woven throughout the harsh reality of Israel's rebellion towards Adonai. So when we get to chapter 40, what is identified as the second half of the book, we come to the comforting of Israel, a reassuring yet critical portion of Isaiah. From chapter 40 through 66, the theme of comfort and keep comforting my people is most prevalent throughout these chapters. The Haftorah readings associated with Deuteronomy comprise many of these passages, for which back in 2016, I shared with the congregation a 7-part series on the 7 comforting messages of Isaiah. The notes are still on our website. Chapters 40 through 66 present the reader with a different emphasis. In chapters 1 through 39, Isaiah emphasizes God's judgment, interspersed with hope for the future blessing. While in chapters 40 through 66, the author emphasizes the future hope and work of the servant. The theme of judgment is not abandoned, but is subdued. Adonai did not ignore the reality and was to come, but Israel's judgment and their imminent exile from the land as a result of that judgment. Yet today's focus will be on the last 7 chapters of Isaiah. chapters 60 through 66 form the last major second of the second half of this book, describing Israel's future liberation and restoration to their climactic goal. In other words, the restoration of the kingdom of Adonai. Yeshua's Talmidim asked him prior to his ascension, back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, Lord, are you at this time going to restore self-rule to Israel? Are you going to establish the throne again, not with a puppet of Rome, but with the line of David? Keeping in mind, the only little part in there was the scripture part. Lord, are you at this time going to restore self-rule to Israel? His answer, you don't need to know the dates or the times. The Father has kept these under His own authority. But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you. You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, indeed to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses to what? You will be my witnesses to the restoration that will go on through Messiah. Witnesses to the promise that Adonai has conveyed throughout, or through Yeshua, and the prophecies given to Isaiah, ultimately becoming a reality. We've seen this here in our age, but imagine the time 2,000 years ago when one prophecy after another became real. It wasn't just a promise in the future. The future was now, back then. The future is now, and these prophecies that still have yet to be fulfilled are occurring in our lifetimes. So chapters 60 through 62 emphasize four changes that will occur when the future blessing arrives, when Israel is restored. The first, the glory of God will return to Israel in the person of the Messiah, resulting in Israel becoming a light to the nations. I'd ask you to go to Isaiah 60. We're going to be in Isaiah 60, 61, and 62, but I'm going to be going elsewhere as well. So I don't know how many fingers you have. So, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, Jerusalem, for your light has come. The glory of Adonai has risen over you. For although darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the peoples, on you Adonai will rise. Over you will be seen His glory. Guess what? That light has come. John 8:12, Yeshua spoke to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light which gives life. For your light has come. Isaiah talked about it. It became reality when Yeshua appeared. And will ultimately return. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of Adonai is upon me, because Adonai has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to let out into light those bound in the dark. There's the light again. To proclaim the year of favor of Adonai and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Yes, provide for those in Zion who mourn, giving them garlands instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness planted by Adonai, in which He takes pride. Keeping in mind, we see this very passage of Scripture the center of the moment when Yeshua was in the synagogue in Luke 4. Everybody go to Luke 4. Starting in verse 14, Yeshua returned to the Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and reports about him spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone respected him. Now when he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, on Shabbat he went to the synagogue as usual. He stood up and read, and was given the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of Adonai is upon me. Therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim a year of favor of Adonai." After closing the scroll and returning it to the shamash, he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He started to speak to them. "Today, as you heard it read, this passage of the Tanakh is fulfilled." Not in the future, not at some point later on, but that moment. All the eyes were upon him. But keeping in mind, when you compare Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and what is recorded in Luke 4, notice that it's not all there. It's partially fulfilled. Based on the words of Yeshua, what he shared at that moment had been fulfilled. The remainder of the passage is still yet to be accomplished. Hence, the continuation of the future restoration of Israel. Is everybody with me here? God is working through his own word to Isaiah, where he was speaking judgment to the nation, but a judgment that did not lack hope. Isaiah 62, 1 through 3. "For Zion's sake I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her vindication shines out brightly and her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all the kings your glory. Then you will be called by a new name which Adonai himself will pronounce. You will be a glorious crown in the hand of Adonai, a royal diadem held by your God. When you consider all of these verses, they go back to the previous sermons that I shared with you on the establishment of the kingdom. Promises were made long ago by Adonai. It is by his word that these promises establishing the kingdom will come to fruition. If you take only one thing away from this message, let it be that Adonai's word is true. If it came to fruition at the time of Yeshua, it's coming to fruition now, and there's still more to come. So reminding you of this first section, the glory of God will return to Israel in the person of Messiah, resulting in Israel becoming a light to the nations. The second thing, God will bring Israel back to the land to rebuild her cities. If you're back in Isaiah, this time it's chapter 60. Verse 4, "Raise your eyes and look around. They are all assembling and coming to you. Your sons are coming from far off, your daughters being carried on their nurses' hips." They're coming from far off, back to the land. Verse 9 of chapter 60. "The coastlands are putting their hope in me. With the Tarshish ships in the lead, to bring your children from far away and with them their silver and gold for the sake of Adonai your God, the Holy One of Israel, who glorifies you. Isaiah 61:4. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore sites long destroyed. They will renew the ruined cities destroyed many generations ago. Now, keeping in mind, we've been studying Nehemiah. There was a rebuilding that went on, but there had to be another rebuilding as well. Because when Jewish people started returning to the land was uninhabitable. It was swamp and desert. There was malaria all throughout the land. So there was a rebuilding that had to go on. Verse 7 of chapter 61, because of your shame, which was doubled, and because they cried, they deserve disgrace. Therefore, in their land, what they own will be doubled, and joy forever will be theirs. God punished them severely. Yet God is going to return them and he is going to reconcile them in more ways. Isaiah 62:5. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never fall silent, neither by day nor by night. You who call on Adonai, give yourselves no rest. And verse 7, and give him no rest till he restores Jerusalem and makes it the praise of the earth. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Didn't play that one today. But keeping in mind, there's a restoration that had to go on. Isaiah 62:10. Go on through the gates. Clear the way for the people. Build up a highway. Build it up. Clear away the stones. Raise a banner for the peoples. What is this but a restoration project? Back in 2010, they were called shovel-ready jobs. Anyways, all of these promises revealed by Adonai to Isaiah had their origin in Torah, a promise made long before Israel's transgression and expulsion from the land. Everybody go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Starting in verse 1. When the time arrives that all these things have come upon you, both the blessing and the curse which I have presented to you, and you are there among the nations to which Adonai your God has driven you, then at last you will start thinking about what has happened to you. When you're outside of the land and in the nations, he's speaking to the entire nation here. What has occurred? Judgment. Isaiah is talking about judgment that will come. But just like Isaiah, Moses receives a similar message. Verse 2. When you start thinking about what has happened to you, and you will return to Adonai your God and pay attention to what he has said, which will be exactly what I am ordering you to do today. You and your children, with all your heart and with all your being. Verse 3. At that point, Adonai your God will reverse your exile and show you mercy. He will return and gather you from all the peoples to which Adonai your God has scattered you. He will reverse your exile. It's happened twice. The first time after the 70 years. Jeremiah talks about it. The second time, we're in the process right now. Not everybody's returned to the land. There's still more to come. If one of yours was scattered, verse 4, to the far end of the sky, Adonai your God will gather you even from there. He will go there and get you. Adonai your God will bring you back into the land your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it. He will make you prosper there, and you will become even more numerous than your ancestors. A few weeks ago in Torah study, I had this little graph showing the population of Israel and the Jewish people over the centuries. Anybody remember what it showed? It showed that there were more people in the land now than at any time ever before. Many of you are currently studying Nehemiah with Jerry, a recount of Adonai calling Israel back to the land after judgment. Nehemiah's focus is on rebuilding the walls of the city, whereby protection would be established for those who would come back to reside in the city. If it happened here, who's to say it won't happen again? In reality, it already has happened, and that Israel has become a nation again in 1948 and flourishing 71 years later. So why isn't the time of Nehemiah the fulfillment of these passages to return and rebuild? I would respond, the answer as to the why is found in parts 3 and part 4 of this presentation of Isaiah. The third part, the nations will serve Israel and worship God. You really didn't see that the first time. Yes, God brought Israel back after the 70 years. This concept of the nations serving Israel is not mentioned much in the body of Messiah. Unfortunately, it is not mentioned because the reality of Scripture being Israel-centered is not mentioned, not embraced, not taught. The tendency is to change the focus of Scripture from Israel to the church. Unfortunately, when you change this vital focus, it changes our understanding. In changing our understanding, it conceals the reality that Scripture is revealing. And you wonder why there are so many in the body of believers that don't understand these truths. It is because they've never been taught them. Israel will be the center of worship, primarily because Jerusalem, which resides in Israel, will be where the throne of God and of the Lamb will reside. It will be there that all will go to worship Him. Everything I'm conveying here goes back to the first two parts of these sermons, establishing the foundation of the kingdom. First, the promise of the king, and second, the establishment through the covenants. So when we come to the nations, Adonai reveals through Isaiah the following. Isaiah chapter 60, starting in verse 5. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with delight. For the riches of the seas will be brought to you. The wealth of nations will come to you. This is the wealth of nations coming to Israel, basically. Caravans of camels will cover your land. Young camels from Midian and Ephah, all of them coming from Sava, bringing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of Adonai. These are the nations coming and praising God. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered for you. The rams of Nebaioth will be at your service. They will come up and be received on my altar as I glorify my glorious house. Who are these flying along like clouds, like doves to their dovecotes? The coastlands are putting their hope in me, with the Tarshish ships in the lead, to bring your children from far away, and with them their silver and gold, for the sake of Adonai your God, the Holy One of Israel, who glorifies you. Foreigners will rebuild your walls. Their kings will be at your service. For in my anger I struck them, but in my mercy I pity you. Your gates will always be open. They will not be shut by day or by night, so that people can bring you the wealth of nations with their kings led in procession. For the nation or kingdom that won't serve you will perish. Yes, those nations will be utterly destroyed. The glory of the Lebanon will come to you. Cypresses together with elm trees and larches to beautify the site of my sanctuary. I will glorify the place where I stand. The children of your oppressors will come and bow low before you. All who despise you will fall at your feet, calling you the city of Adonai, Zion, of the Holy One of Israel. In the past you were abandoned and hated, so that no one would even pass through you. But now I will make you the pride of the ages, a joy for many generations. You will drink the milk of nations. You will nurse at royal breasts and know that I, Adonai, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Yaakov. If you're going to stone me now, stone me now, but you're also stoning the Word of God. It's not me saying these things, but it's God saying this. The nation will be the center. And the nation comprising the Jewish people, people will come in. Isaiah 61:5. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners plow your land and tend your vines. But you will be called Kohanim of Adonai, spoken of as ministers to our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and revel in their riches. So the nations will come. We haven't really seen this yet. We didn't see it fully when Yeshua was there. Yes, we had others from other nations. We had the Magi came. They came from other nations to worship the king. But we're talking, according to Isaiah's words, caravans. A word that's prominent today. A caravan isn't just a few people, but think of it as thousands of people. And then the fourth aspect, the nation will be characterized by righteousness. We're talking a full restoration. Remember, the theme of Isaiah is judgment because of rebellion, because of transgression. Yet the opposite is going to happen, where this nation, who has the word of righteousness and was required to live by it, will be identified by Adonai as righteous. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 18. Violence will no longer be heard in your land, desolation or destruction within your borders. Instead, you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. No more will the sun be your light by day, nor will moonlight shine on you. Instead, Adonai will be your light forever and your God, your glory. No longer will your sun go down, your moon will no longer wane, for Adonai will be your light forever, your days of mourning will end. All your people will be tzaddikim, righteous. They will inherit the land forever. They will be the branch I planted, my handiwork in which I take pride. The smallest will grow to 1,000. The weakest will become a mighty nation. I, Adonai, when the right time comes, will quickly bring it about. So these are all promises that God is making to Israel. They will become righteous again. He's in the process of doing that right now, one individual at a time. Isaiah 61, verses 8 through 11. For I, Adonai, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. So I will be faithful to reward them and make an eternal covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the seed Adonai has blessed. I am so joyful in Adonai, my soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me in salvation, dressed me in the robe of triumph, like a bridegroom wearing a festive turban, like a bride adorned with her jewels. For just as the earth brings forth its plants, or a garden makes its plants spring up, so Adonai will cause victory and glory to spring up before all nations. Speaking of Israel again. Isaiah 62, 1 and 2. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. I shared these verses earlier that were associated with point one. I will not rest until her vindication shines out brightly and her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all the kings your glory. Then you will be called by a new name which Adonai himself will pronounce. All of these promises focused on the restoration of Israel and a return to righteousness also comes from Torah. The one verse that I didn't read from Deuteronomy 30 is appropriate now. Remember, God's gathering them back into the land from as far away as they go. Basically, he will get them. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 30. Then Adonai your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your children, so that you will love Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being, and thus you will live. We see this happening in real time. Jews are returning to the land while at the same time Adonai is enabling them to see him and ultimately return to him. What is this but Messianic Judaism as we understand it today? Yes, there are many still blinded by this reality and residing both in the land and the diaspora. Yet we see a move of Adonai unlike anything we have seen since the events recorded in Acts chapter 2. Let me go to Acts chapter 2 for a minute. We're going to be there for a little while. Because what I want to share with you about Acts chapter 2 is the power of God's Word. But it's not just the power of His Word, but it's the power of His Spirit. Because these two things come together. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The festival of Shavuot had arrived. This is 50 days after the Passover. The festival of Shavuot had arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, religious Jews from every nation under heaven. The diaspora came back for the feasts. First Passover, then Shavuot. Verse 6. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were confused because each one heard the believer speaking in his own language. Totally amazed, they asked, how is this possible? Aren't all these people who are speaking from the Galilee? How is it that we are hearing of them speaking in our native language. We are Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome. Such an eclectic crowd of diverse languages that were likely spoken. Yet they didn't speak to them in Aramaic or Hebrew. They spoke to them in their native language, their native tongue. Who are these people? These are Jews by birth and proselytes, converts, Jews from Crete and from Arabia. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things God has done? So they were able to understand what they were saying. They understood what was being said. The only thing we don't know doesn't say what they were saying to them. Luke didn't record what they were saying when they were speaking in their own tongues. Amazed and confused, verse 12, they all went on asking each other, what can this mean? What can this mean? God's speaking to us. We're hearing things in our own language. They're telling us about the things that God has done. What can this mean? To where Kepha transformed himself gives one of the most powerful sermons about the kingdom. Continuing on in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, I believe this is important because Kepha's actually conveying the gospel. Then Kepha stood up with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. You Judeans and all of you staying here in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means. Listen carefully to me. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, by the prophet Joel. Here we have another prophecy becoming a reality at that moment in time. Adonai says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, will I pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will perform miracles in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon blood before the great and fearful day of Adonai comes. And then whoever calls on the name of Adonai will be saved. This is from the prophet Joel, from Joel. After he recites that, because it doesn't say he had a Bible that he opened up, the prophet Joel, he recited it from memory. Spirit-inspired, Spirit-powered. Men of Israel, listen to this. Yeshua from Nazareth was a man demonstrated to you to have been from God by the powerful works, miracles, and signs that God performed through him in your presence. You yourselves know this. This man was arrested in accordance with God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge, and through the agency of persons not bound by the Torah, you nailed him to the stake and killed him. The people that Kepha's talking to were likely there for the Passover. They were there to see Yeshua killed, put to death, and they were there 50 days later. What does all this mean? So Kepha's not talking about someone foreign that they did not experience or hear about, but they were there when this occurred. Verse 24, But God has raised him up and freed him from the suffering of death. It was impossible that death could keep its hold on him. For David says this about him, I saw Adonai always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. For this reason my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced, and now my body too will live on in the certain hope that you will not abandon me to Sheol or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will fill me with joy by your presence. Kepha, conveying the words of David, inspired by the Spirit. Brothers, in verse 29, I know I can say to you frankly that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit on his throne, going back to the covenant that God made with David, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, that it was he who was not abandoned in Sheol and whose flesh did not see decay. God raised up this Yeshua, and we are all witnesses of it. We were there. We saw it. We're not lying to you. Moreover, verse 33, he has been exalted to the right hand of God, has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift which you are both seeing and hearing. Remember, they saw the fire and they heard the impact of the Ruach HaKodesh because the Hicks from Galilee were speaking in their own native tongue. Verse 34, for David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Psalm 110. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond doubt that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Yeshua whom you executed on a stake. The gospel in a nutshell, talking about the resurrection. Just after Passover, on Shavuot, when the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh was finally given. Their response, verse 37, on hearing this, they were stung in their hearts. And they said to Kepha and the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? Kepha provides the answer. Turn from your sin, return to God, and each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for those far away, as many as Adonai, our God, may call. For you, the ones he's talking to now, for your children, Jewish generations to come, those far off, the nations, the very aspect that's associated with Isaiah in bringing Israel back to righteousness, the nations are part of it. And what was the result? So those who accepted what he said were immersed, and there were added to the group that day 3,000. They were added to the kingdom that day. So what do we make of all this? You who are already in the kingdom, you will experience many challenges along the way, but know this, the kingdom is very real. It is waiting for you at the end of the race. You don't receive your prize in the middle of the race. You don't get your medal at the 50-meter mark when it's a 100-meter race. We tend to focus on what transpires during the race based on our relationship with Adonai through Yeshua. We tend to use our expectations of the relationship, whether prayers have been answered or not, as the litmus, the yardstick by which we base our relationship. My response for that? Focus on the end and how you get there. Pray for wisdom to understand and strength that will enable you to endure to the end. The end when you will reach your destination, God's kingdom. It is not an easy journey, especially in this world. But there will be no journey you experience in your lifetime that will be as rewarding as this one that you are on now. The kingdom is real, and the reality of it is you are being prepared for it. So as we continue on this, yes, we will get discouraged along the way. But what does Yeshua say? Don't worry, I've overcome the world. And keeping in mind, there's a lot of mishigas going on in the world, that we can't just be focused on what's going on in the world, but we have to be focused on the destination, but not lose sight of what we're doing to expand the kingdom. Oh, well, I've already got my ticket punched to the kingdom. I don't have to do anything. I'm set. Keeping in mind, there's a lot of scriptures, and this will be a sermon for another day. But those who are not actively working not only towards the kingdom, but expanding the kingdom. Yeshua talks about that. Scripture talks about that. And like I said, that will likely be a sermon for another day. But stay focused. Don't let the chaos of the world distract you. Don't let it discourage you. Because many lose focus and they fall away. Lane. That's part of it. But keeping in mind, there's a promise that's made in Zechariah 14 that they will go, that basically the nations will go up on Sukkot and they will worship God, Yeshua. And any that don't will not receive the promise that in essence does not enable them to continue to prosper. Now, the command, there's no specific command that we see in Deuteronomy or Leviticus. Yet keeping in mind, how do I put this? The concept of Sukkot is not just the memorial of being in the desert, remembering your time in the desert, but there are aspects incorporated to Sukkot that make it more of a, I don't want to call it universal, but an international gathering. And that has to do with the sacrifices associated with it. Basically, what Israel is doing as a nation is interceding on behalf of the other nations through the sacrifices that were done on Sukkot. You're keeping in mind, like I said, there's an intercession going on by Israel for the nations. And in essence, God is saying, and we read it as well in one verse, it was Isaiah 66. Now let me just get there. And this is specifically talking about one aspect. Verse 23, every month on Rosh Hashanah and every week on Shabbat, everyone living will come to worship in my presence as Adonai. That's Shabbat and that's the beginning of the month. But then you have Zechariah chapter 14. then Adonai will be king over the whole world. On that day, Adonai will be the only one, and his name will be the only name. So there's only going to be one king throughout the world at that time. And then we get to verse 16, Zechariah 14. Finally, everyone remaining from all the nations that came to attack Jerusalem will go up every year and worship the king Adonai and keep the festival of Sukkot. And then you have Ezekiel chapter 47, where what feasts are talked about? Technically, there's two. Passover and Sukkot. Nations will come. Ezekiel 47. Read the whole thing. So the idea of this aspect of Sukkot and this idea of the restoration of the nation and the restoration of its righteousness lead into this whole thing that when you get to the destination of the kingdom, an aspect of that destination is Sukkot, because the nations will come and worship. Zechariah, it's revealed to Zechariah that nations will come up. 14, 16. And then through Ezekiel, there's two primary feasts, Passover and Sukkot, that will be recognized, that will be honored, that will be kept during the millennial reign of Messiah. So if everybody will please rise.